shift from a company that had a global vision but was locally run to one that has global vision and is globally run. The use of email and other collaborative digital tools integrates people into the organization faster and has made all of the company's knowledge workers aware that they have a global audience. Globally run does not mean that a manager in Atlanta makes all the decisions for the manager in Nairobi, Kenya. It means that the manager in Nairobi has the same access to information as the manager at headquarters, and that the same analytical and communication tools make him part of one worldwide integrated unit. Feudal mindsets are giving way to a consciousness of global context. The brand management process really took off when the digital tools came out of the executive suite and into the hands of the worldwide marketing teams. Technology has empowered local business teams at Coke, but not in ways that create incompatibilities and inconsistencies within the company. And digital information has enabled Coke to shift from quarterly planning and reporting to continuous planning. Knowledge management is a fancy term for a simple idea. You're managing data, documents, and people's efforts. Your aim should be to enhance the way people work together, share ideas, sometimes wrangle, and build on one another's ideas, and then act in concert for a common purpose. The CEO's role in raising a company's corporate IQ is to establish an atmosphere that promotes knowledge sharing and collaboration, to prioritize the areas in which knowledge sharing is most valuable, to provide the digital tools that make knowledge sharing possible, and to reward people for contributing to a full flow of information. I say computer, computer says potato. Any knowledge management solution should include the capability for users to easily search for information, whether for specific numerical data, all of the documents and files related to a specific project or topic, or a wide assortment of information off the World Wide Web. Today there are too many ways to search, and none is powerful enough. Most web search methods locate only documents that are in web format. Users have to use different search tools if the information they want is in word processing, spreadsheet, database, or email files. Moreover, internet searches usually return too many or too few results. First, you'll get thousands of responses. Then you'll make the search a bit more precise and get almost none. If you want to learn about the fastest computer chip available, you might end up with information about potato chips delivered in fast trucks. Microsoft and other system vendors are working on technology that will catalog material across a variety of storage mechanisms, web, file, database, and email, so that a single search will offer a much higher likelihood that you'll find what you're looking for quickly. Microsoft is also supporting the industry standard called XML, Extended Markup Language, an updated version of the internet standard HTML, Hypertext Markup Language. Where HTML tells the PC how to lay out content on a web page for display or printing, XML does this and also describes the nature of the content. XML provides a way of indexing data for retrieval and for other kinds of manipulation. For example, it can tag Bill Gates as a customer name and One Microsoft Way as a business address. Other applications can act on the metadata or meta tags, data that describes other data. For example, copying the customer information into the proper fields of a record that needs to be updated in another application. XML solves the twin problems of searching for information across different storage mechanisms and integrating applications over distributed systems. The flexibility of XML creates a risk that people will generate incompatibilities by describing data differently. Is Bill Gates formally a name or a customer? This danger of incompatible definitions is why we're working with leading solution providers in such industries as retail, finance, and healthcare to get industry-wide agreement on tag definitions. When computer software can understand natural language better, we'll have another way to improve searching. Experimental software that understands natural language queries, parsing regular sentences into meaningful patterns, can already return 2/3 fewer responses than today's search engines, with a greatly increased likelihood of a match. Continued advances mean that in the future, we'll speak or type regular questions into the computer, and the computer, understanding the context, will return the most likely match across all the different storage mechanisms. If you search the web for the speed of chips, the result will be about computers, not potatoes. Business lessons. Foster knowledge sharing through policies, rewards, and specific projects that establish a knowledge sharing culture. Teams should be able to act with the same unity of purpose and focus as a well-motivated individual. Every new project should directly build on the learning from any similar project undertaken anywhere else in the world. Training should be available at the employee's desk as well as in the classroom. All training resources should be online, including systems to provide feedback on the training. Diagnosing your digital nervous system. Do you have a digital repository where you preserve and augment your organization's accumulated knowledge? Do your digital systems allow numerical and non-numerical data to be accessed together? Can employees, partners, and suppliers get access to appropriate corporate knowledge with a few simple commands? Do your information systems ensure that the proper reviews happen as products move through development? Chapter 15. Big wins take big risks. If you want to look at it that you're betting the company, I hope we keep doing it, and I'm pretty damn sure we will. T. Wilson, Boeing CEO, 1972 through 1988. To be a market leader, you have to have what business writer and consultant Jim Collins calls big, hairy, audacious goals. You can't look at just the past or current state of the market. You have to also look at where it's likely to go and where it might go under certain circumstances, and then navigate your company based on your best predictions. To win big, sometimes you have to take big risks. Big bets mean big failures as well as successes. I recounted some of Microsoft's failures in Chapter 11 and how the lessons learned helped us change our products and strategy. Today, with the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to believe that Microsoft's current success was preordained. Yet at the time we made our big bets, including the founding of the company as the first microcomputer software firm, most people scoffed. Many industry leaders hesitated to move to new technologies for fear of undercutting the success of their existing technologies. They learned a hard lesson. If you decline to take risks early, you'll decline in the market later. If you bet big, though, only a few of these risks have to succeed to provide for your future. Microsoft's current audacious goals include making the PC scale and performance beyond all existing systems, developing computers that see, listen, and learn, and creating software to power the new personal companion devices. These initiatives are Microsoft's response to digital convergence, in which all devices will use digital technology and need to work with one another. Whether these initiatives succeed, one fact is clear. We have to take these risks in order to have a long-term future. Risk-taking is natural in an emerging industry. The computer industry is about as far into its development as cars were in the 1910s and planes were in the 1930s. Those industries underwent radical and often chaotic technical and business change before they matured, and the same phenomenon is happening in the computer industry. The phrase mature industry implies less risk-taking, but in well-developed industries where vendors approach parity in most areas, taking a risk that information technology can change the rules is the best way to create product and market breakthroughs. A primary competitive differentiator will be the way companies employ the web work style. Betting the company every 20 years. One of the largest manufacturing concerns in the world, Boeing has a corporate tradition of betting the company on breakthrough aviation products every couple of decades. In the 1930s, Boeing gambled on a new bomber that became the B-17 of World War II fame. In the 1950s, Boeing gambled to build the first all-jet commercial passenger plane in the United States, the 707. And in 1968, Boeing built the first jumbo jet, the 747, without even enough customer orders to guarantee it could break even. If any of these projects had failed, Boeing probably would have gone out of business. By the 1990s, Boeing's bet the business challenge was its next-generation passenger plane, the 777. Boeing's first aircraft to be designed entirely by digital means, the 777 was also the first Boeing plane to totally use fly-by-wire technology, in which computers drive the control systems, eliminating the heavy cables used by mechanical systems. And it was the first Boeing plane built with major international suppliers, necessitating digital collaboration, so much digital collaboration that Boeing needed a new fiber optic cable across the Pacific to Japan to handle the electronic traffic. This large-scale knowledge problem required enough pioneering to make it a major risk, with an equally great potential for reward. Key project objectives were to reduce error, rework, and change by 50%. The 777 team succeeded. The digital mock-up identified more than 10,000 points of interference, where parts did not fit together properly, so that designers could fix the problems before production began. Without a digital design, these interferences would not have been found until the plane was being manufactured. Toward the end of the 747 project, Boeing was spending $5 million a day on engineering, mostly in changes. The company did not experience those costs with the 777. When the 777 was built, laser alignment tools found that one wing was perfectly aligned, another was out of alignment by only 2/1000ths of an inch, and over the 209-foot length of the aircraft, the fuselage was off by only 3 to 8 thousandths of an inch. This virtual perfection of alignment translates into increased aerodynamic performance, better fuel efficiency, and less rework during the assembly process. Digital information flow changed the way Boeing collaborated with Japanese suppliers who built fuselage sections and other components. Without digital tools, Boeing would have had to create all the designs in Seattle and send hard copy to Japan. Boeing would not have learned of problems until the parts were built and delivered. Instead, Boeing did the conceptual design and sent these drawings electronically to Japan, where local engineers could then do the detailed design. The Japanese designers could quickly check with their manufacturing people about the difficulty of building the part and bring any problems to Boeing's notice early. Electronic collaboration redefined the roles of partners and streamlined the process for everyone involved. But though the use of digital processes in the design of the 777 worked well, the design phase represents only 20% of the actual work that goes into the production of a complex modern aircraft. Boeing's use of digital information was only just the beginning. Boeing's next step was to tackle the remaining 80%, the production processes that went back to the days of the B-17. This production system comprised at least 1,000 custom-made, intertwined computer systems, some from as early as 1959, built in every computer language ever known, according to company officials. The system's inefficiencies allowed the wrong parts to be manufactured, or the right parts not to be manufactured. When demand for Boeing's most popular aircraft, the 737, soared in 1997 to 98, the production system created a bottleneck. Compounding this problem, Boeing was in a fierce price war with rival Airbus in the commercial sector, and it was re-engineering its primary production processes while trying to keep down production costs. Aviation customers make purely economic decisions. They know the maintenance and fuel costs of their existing fleet, and aircraft manufacturers have to bring in a plane that will lower their costs. If you do, you'll replace old aircraft. If you don't, nobody will buy. Boeing's challenge to design better and better aircraft while paring its production costs could be met only with new processes and new ways of using information technology. The adoption of the web work style from start to finish. The design of a new airplane or spacecraft is a huge integration task. Each vehicle is structurally complex to begin with. Then, propulsion systems, air conditioning, electrical systems, hydraulic systems, avionics, and other systems are added. The biggest debate is territorial. What systems get to go through the many restricted spaces? Digital tools enable Boeing engineers to see something as simple as whether the electrical and hydraulic designers both ran lines through the same hole, to something as complex as the overall design of the new International Space Station, which will not be physically brought together until it is assembled in space. Digital tools make it possible to solve multidimensional, multivariable problems, such as determining the structural impact of extreme heat and cold. By bringing together a variety of experts who understand their own piece, but not necessarily others. The work to be done remains complex. It's not as though you can push a button and get great aircraft design. Digital tools enable engineers to see conflicts and begin the discussions by asking the right questions. A new digital process will also drive Boeing's entire production chain, from obtaining raw materials, engineering the parts, defining the airplane, and machining the parts, to controlling configuration and assembly. The new system, which 25,000 employees are already using, provides a single source of product data in place of 13 independent systems. The goal is for all 100,000 manufacturing employees to use it. What makes Boeing's efforts unique is the degree to which it plans to integrate digital data from end to end, including integration with its partners, and the sheer scale of the intellectual and manufacturing processes that it is digitizing. The company already operates the largest web-based parts ordering system in the world and is using digital tools to bring together virtual teams, such as its collaboration with Lockheed Martin on the new F-22 fighter. All told, Boeing believes its efforts will cut 30% to 40% of its production costs. Networked PCs are central to Boeing's plan for information flow throughout the company. When the 777 was designed with the computer-aided design application known as CATIA, 8 mainframes in the Puget Sound area and several more in Japan, Canada, and other locations in the United States supported 10,000 specialized workstations used by designers and manufacturing engineers to define and manufacture the airplane. Technology being implemented in the near future will allow access to the data from anywhere via a PC. Even customers will be able to access some data, getting a custom CD of all the parts and systems for the planes they purchased. CEO Condit offers a bit of tough advice to other manufacturers facing the question of how and when to go digital. If you're going to go digital, you have to go digital all the way. If you try to maintain the old paper system and a new digital one, you'll have a lot of non-productive effort and cost. People won't really be committed, and everyone will simply default to using the old system. Part of the go-ahead is an act of faith, and part of it is trust in the people who've designed the new system, but you have to make the tough decision and take away everyone's crutches. Automated design instead of automated waste. Two events convinced Phil Condit that Boeing needed to go digital. Both occurred when Condit, now Boeing's CEO, was managing the company's 757 project in the mid-1980s. The first was a capital request for a multi-million-dollar machine, an automated shim maker. Shims are thin pieces of metal that are wedged between parts to ensure a tight fit. The million-dollar shim maker could turn out lots of them fast. He rejected the request for what he called automated waste. Wouldn't it make more sense, he wondered, if Boeing could design planes so they fitted together without shims? The second occurred at about the same time. Boeing was already using digital design on small projects. In one, a numeric controller was bending titanium hydraulic tubes into specified shapes based on a digital design. The first ones made had to be redone because they didn't fit the mock-up. A few days later, however, someone brought Condit a correction to the mock-up. When the mock-up was redone, the computer-designed tubes fit perfectly. They had been made correctly to begin with. It was the mock-up that was wrong. When digitally designed parts served to check the accuracy of physical mock-ups instead of the other way around, Condit knew a new approach was required. Accelerating the search for cancer cures. While digital information can put new life into existing industries, it's also helping create new industries. A good example is the high-risk field of genetic research, where companies have to expend huge resources for years without any guarantee of success. In a pure knowledge field such as genetic research, digital information flow can double the speed of research and improve the potential for success. Genetic research focuses on DNA, a complex molecule commonly described as the building block of life. The genes in DNA control every living process in the cell, such as the assimilation of nutrients and cellular respiration, or the construction of the cell's physical structures. Through a process called encoding, genes guide the kind and quantities of proteins created. The proteins actually carry out chemical processes in the cell. If DNA is damaged or mutated, though, it may generate faulty instructions, producing the wrong amount or altered forms of various proteins, and throwing chemical reactions in the cell out of balance. The cell suffers, and the organism as a whole becomes ill or dies. Genetic research, like science in general, progresses through a series of unexpected connections. The more information that scientists have about the work of other scientists, the more likely they are to fill in gaps of knowledge and connect the dots between seemingly unconnected data. Scientists were among the first group to actively use the Internet to share information more than 2 decades ago, and geneticists today are making special use of the Internet's unique collaborative properties. The intensity of this digital collaboration is amazing. Scientists are constantly exchanging ideas with one another and critiquing one another's thinking via email. The internet allows them to find relevant scientific papers, which are coming out faster. They're able to stay up to date on what competitors are doing and where the latest breakthroughs are. When ICOS, a biotech firm on whose board I serve, published new genetic research on the internet, it quickly drew interest from one researcher studying bone degradation and another studying the ability of women to successfully carry pregnancies to term. Whenever I go to ICOS, the scientists are casually talking about their collaboration with one scientist in New York and another in St. Louis and another in the United Kingdom. Within a biotech company, collaborative tools improve the interchange of information among the DNA researcher, DNA synthesizer, and chemist, who need to work together to find new genes and find compounds that react with the products of genes to create useful drugs. The geneticists who are good at isolating new genes or identifying mutant genes are not usually the same people who are skilled at figuring out the functions of the genes. Both skill sets are needed to develop practical drugs, and digital tools help both. They aid the scientists in the research phase, and they aid the chemists in the analysis phase. Chemists can graphically compare the chemical structure of possible drugs against known chemical compounds in order to surmise the likely chemical behavior of the new find. A compound with a structure similar to one with known toxic effects, for example, would be immediately eliminated from further study. One of the most exciting connections occurred in ICOS's discovery that overexpression of a gene named ATR may play a major role in many cancers. ICOS was trying to find a way to make tumor cells more susceptible to X-rays, so that X-rays might become a more effective cancer treatment. X-rays harm cells by breaking apart DNA. The proteins encoded by ATR are part of the cell's mechanism to sense when DNA is damaged, so that the cell can begin repair. If ICOS could inhibit ATR in tumors, it could slow down the repair mechanism and make tumors more susceptible to destruction by X-rays. When ICOS began this project, relatively little was known about the DNA repair mechanism in human cells, but the gene that caused yeast cells to have problems repairing radiation-damaged DNA strands was known. ICOS and its collaborator in the United Kingdom used sophisticated pattern searching and analysis of one of the DNA databases on the Internet to find the equivalent human gene, ATR, on chromosome 3 of the 23 human chromosomes. Meanwhile, the Volume Institute of the Oregon Health Services Center in Portland had found a fragment of human chromosome that contained many genes. This fragment would prevent the body's original, undifferentiated cells, called stem cells, from developing into muscle cells. The scientists narrowed the location of the responsible gene to chromosome 3 and went to the Internet, where they found ICOS's research data. The two organizations then worked together, discovering that ATR was actually the gene that caused cells to continue to proliferate as undifferentiated cells, rather than maturing into specialized body cells, such as a muscle or nerve cell. The two teams visited an internet site that has a database on tumors and found that too many copies of ATR are found in breast and prostate cancer and in small cell lung carcinoma. The conclusion? An overproduction of ATR may cause or promote many cancers. The Internet mediated this scientific interplay in a way no other medium could. Without the web, the DNA researchers may not have connected for years, if at all. In the past, connections were the result of luck. The Internet creates a worldwide chalkboard on which scientists can jointly work. ICOS was trying to find the gatekeeper gene that causes a cell with broken DNA to repair itself before reproducing. By collaborating with the Volume Institute, researchers got an unexpected aha. Inhibiting ATR might do more than simply weaken tumors. It might revert them from tumors to ordinary cells. It's too early to know whether the work on ATR will lead to an important cancer-fighting agent. ICOS has made the ATR gene and purified it, but now the company has to find an effective inhibitor of ATR. The inhibitor would be the actual cancer-fighting agent. It's like having Cinderella's foot and trying to find the 1 in 100,000 slippers that will fit it. Making or breaking the biotech firm. Knowing what projects not to pursue can make or break a biotech company, digital information helps eliminate the enormous costs of unnecessary research and improve decision-making in the early stages, an important effect since every successive step in R&D and production tends to be more expensive than the last. Digital systems enable a biotech company to roll the dice more often, and more rolls equate to a better chance of making a medical breakthrough. with still better exchange of information among scientists on such things as the inherent toxicity of compounds, the frequency of hits with each roll of the dice will also rise. Biotech companies need to improve the quality of the candidates on each track, and if one breaks down, they have to get it pushed aside as soon as possible in order to get another candidate going. Information tools can dramatically reduce the number of false starts and improve the screening efficiency, increasing the number of likely drug candidates in the pipeline. As more and more scientists are beginning to use email and the internet, the boundaries between research and development and commercial applications are falling away. Electronic tools help manage clinical trials, speed patent searches, and automate much of the documentation process required for FDA review. Companies are beginning to send digital applications to the FDA. In two cases, companies actually submitted a physical workstation so that the FDA reviewers could go through the data and review the reports. A bit extreme, perhaps, but better than piles of paper. Digital submissions, which now may be made on floppies, CDs, or digital tape, are still voluntary, but are likely to replace paper submissions by 2003. An extranet set up by the drug company for use by its researchers and FDA reviewers, taking advantage of email, video conferencing, and online discussions, would dramatically improve the interactivity and speed of reviews. Information available on the internet, along with inexpensive information tools, enables small biotech startups to compete on a more equal footing against companies far larger. A small biotech startup could not even exist without inexpensive computer technology. At the same time, digital information flow enables larger companies to marshal their intellectual resources worldwide. The small company can play with the big boys. The big company can move as nimbly as a small one. Information technology in science is about getting the most out of the brains of talented scientists. In the past, scientists, even more than other knowledge workers, have spent the vast majority of their time collecting data and only a small part of their time analyzing it. As better tools enable researchers to apply most of their brain power to the tough problems rather than to data collection and verification, it's exciting to think how much more progress there will be. As the hunt for ATR demonstrates, the web work style has also made new lines of research feasible. Comparisons of DNA sequences would be impossible on paper. Such data analysis is easy on computers. Because of the nature of the people they hire and the nature of their work, biotech companies are great examples of the application of the web work style, and since many of them are new, the firms have been able to start from scratch with digital tools. If you ask the employees what's unique about their work style, they'll shrug and say they're not doing anything special, just using PCs and LANs and the internet. Employees take electronic tools for granted. Digital tools and the ability of scientists to stand upon the shoulders of others through collaboration on the internet will be a major factor in controlling or curing some of the most terrible diseases that still afflict people all over the world. Finding common ground in intellectual work. At first glance, aircraft manufacturers appear to have little in common with biotech companies. At the basic level, though, both industries have complicated physical processes, manufacturing aircraft and physically screening and producing chemicals, that demand the use of digital information to streamline business operations. Both industries face intense review from regulatory agencies focused on short-term and long-term safety. Aircraft manufacturers and large pharmaceutical companies use e-commerce to create closer relationships with suppliers and partners in widely dispersed geographies. And in the digital age, where information work is at the heart of almost every business, there are many similarities at a deeper level. The core of both businesses is intellectual. For Boeing, the intellectual challenge is such things as designing a wing that has maximum lift and minimum drag, and that can be manufactured inexpensively. The company is creating huge, sophisticated machines containing hundreds of thousands of parts that have to fit together and work together flawlessly. For a biotech company, the intellectual challenge is designing a compound that targets a highly specific disorder, usually genetic, with no collateral damage. The company is creating extremely tiny chemical parts that must mesh precisely with the hundreds of thousands of other active chemical parts that make up the body's biological machinery. The intellectual tasks require the collaboration of people all over the company and of partners and others outside the organization. Knowledge management is of prime importance. Because of the nature of these industries, the companies involved must take big risks. A single successful aircraft can guarantee an aircraft company's future for years and years. The 747 celebrated its 30th birthday in 1998. A single successful drug can generate huge profits for a pharmaceutical company and fund many of its other research efforts. The risks are equally huge. Boeing spent $1 billion on the 747 with no guarantee of profitability. A biotech company can easily spend $250 million to $350 million before it has a marketable product. In a lot of industries, the proper use of digital information may be the only way for a company to differentiate itself from the competition. In high-tech businesses, digital information is the only way to drive new breakthroughs. In order to define and solve knowledge problems that have not been tackled before, big wins require big risks, and a digital nervous system to maximize the chance for success. More broadly, how these companies integrate digital tools is an excellent template for how all companies, large and small, will use the web work style to manage their work in the future. These companies are trading information for time and risk. Business lessons. To win big, you sometimes have to take big risks. Risk supported by digital information flow may be the single biggest way to create product and market breakthroughs. With manufacturing, you trade information for inventory. With industries involved in intellectual property, you trade information for risk. Diagnosing your digital nervous system. Are you going digital all the way or only part of the way? Can you digitally link your knowledge management, business operations, and commerce systems to create a seamless digital environment? Does your digital system enable you to take product testing to wherever in the world is most appropriate while retaining proper review and control? Part 4. Bring insight to business operations. Chapter 16. Develop processes that empower people. Man is simply designed wrong for any mechanistic system. Thomas Peters and Robert Waterman, Jr., In Search of Excellence. A business has the equivalent of autonomic processes, the basic human processes such as breathing that keep us alive. One autonomic process in a business is the function that defines the company's reason for being, its manufacturing process, for example. This function has to be as efficient and reliable as the beating of a heart. A second kind of autonomic process in business is administrative, the process of receiving payments and paying bills and paychecks, for instance. The administrative processes are as essential to a business as breathing. If the basic operational processes of your business fail, your company fails. Because the basic operational processes are so important and so expensive, most big companies began to invest heavily in automating them for efficiency years ago. But too often, the operational processes would be automated in isolation, each independent of the other processes in the company. Overall efficiency would be decidedly suboptimal. Until recently, for instance, in the manufacture of some aircraft parts, only 10% of the original metal actually ended up on an aircraft. The manufacturing process has been optimized at many individual stages along the way, rather than as a whole. There was an enormous amount of designed-in waste. I talk about business operations such as financial and other administrative systems in other chapters. In this chapter, I focus on production processes. An automated production process is necessary but not sufficient if a company is to be competitive today. A good digital nervous system can help you develop your line employees into knowledge workers, transforming your company's core production processes into a competitive advantage. First, you need to use information technology to better understand the inner workings of the process itself in order to make it both more efficient and more responsive to changing circumstances. Entergy Corporation of New Orleans, for instance, has increased the uptime and profitability of its fossil fuel and nuclear power plants with a new graphical process control system that enables plant operators to more finely tune plant efficiency and analyze performance trends in real time. Operators can actually peer inside the generating systems to understand precisely how the machinery is functioning and determine whether a minor repair or an adjustment today might save an expensive repair and extended downtime later. An intelligent PC-based scheduling system ensures that the highest priority items are repaired first. The process control system actually shows operators the cost of reduced efficiency. If the boiler temperature is 10 degrees lower than it should be for optimal production, for instance, By attaching a dollar figure to operational parameters, Entergy is turning its operators into business people, giving them the information they need to run their units efficiently and a lot more responsibility to make decisions. And because production costs for Entergy's plants are available to corporate staff electronically on a minute-by-minute basis, the company can improve its profits by moving power production constantly to those units that are delivering the most cost-efficient energy. Then you need to be able to extract data from your production process to inform other business systems. The Stepan Company, which produces surfactants, the active agents used in most cleaning products, has developed a state-of-the-art process control system that has tripled the plant's output and saved the company millions of dollars through more efficient use of its equipment. But the extraordinary efficiency gains are not as valuable to Stepan as the flexibility of its process control system in meeting changing customer orders and the foundation the system provides for integration with the company's other business systems. Stepan has used its PC infrastructure to build all the necessary hooks to allow management to incorporate production data into other processes, such as manufacturing resource planning and inventory ordering. In the future, all Stepan facilities will have common order entry, inventory, and scheduling software, and managers at the Northfield, Illinois headquarters will be able to get an overall view of the entire manufacturing capability of the company's 11 plants. When a customer requests a change, Stepan will be able to make the change once for all of its plants and make simultaneous deliveries of the product to the customer worldwide. In addition, everything from paper clips to bulk sulfur will be ordered automatically, the sulfur and other key surfactant ingredients according to changing tank levels. Vendors will access the purchasing database to plan deliveries better. Customers will have web access to view product availability and place orders. Order information in turn will be linked back in real time to Stepan's inventory system to ensure that enough chemical components are available in the right locations to fill the orders. Finally, and most important, you need to feed the data from your production process to your line workers so that they can improve the quality of the product itself. If you provide the right technology to help production workers do timely analysis, they'll turn data into actionable information that will help you improve design and reduce defects. Developing a digital nervous system allows you to empower as many of your workers as possible. Information flow is the key. Creating hundreds of small businesses on the floor. General Motors launched the Saturn Corporation back in 1985 to create not only a brand new car from scratch, but a brand new way of building cars and empowering workers. The goal was a company in which management and workers would pull together to reach common goals, and everybody would care so much about quality that there would be no need for a separate quality assurance department. That dream has produced results. Saturn has won J.D. Power Awards for quality and customer satisfaction for 8 consecutive years and is attracting a cult-like following of car owners. Saturn employees are called team members. Everyone in the workforce of 8,500 people belongs to a team and wears a name badge that identifies the team. The pervasive attitude is, I'm part of a bigger operation here. We is more important than me. Teams are tight, autonomous units. Some have as few as 4 members, some as many as 60, but most have 12 to 15 people. Each team has a specific function, such as building engines or doors, and each team member is trained to do approximately 30 different jobs in that area so that people don't get stale from doing repetitive tasks. A team hires its own members and has authority to fire a member who consistently shows up late or does shoddy work. With 20% of its compensation tied to quality, customer satisfaction, and sales, the team operates a little like an independent small business. Notice that nothing I've said about Saturn so far involves technology. If you don't believe that all workers have the potential to contribute to your company's success, all the technology in the world won't empower them. Once you assume that every employee should be a knowledge worker, technology will help every employee put his or her full abilities to work on the company's behalf. Not using this old stuff. Like many manufacturers, Saturn has a supervisory control and data acquisition SCADA system to run its $1.9 billion manufacturing and assembly complex, 4 million square feet of working space on 2,400 acres of land. The SCADA system, based on GE Fanuc's Simplicity plant monitoring and control application, monitors more than 120,000 separate data points from an array of sensors, motors, transducers, and electrical switches. Each device is checked at least once a second. When the Saturn plant was first set up, Simplicity ran on more than 100 VAX VMS minicomputers, with the data coming in from programmable logic controllers, PLCs. Workers disliked the system's arcane codes and character-based terminals. If you wanted to log a scuffed door panel, for instance, you'd enter something like EPSV1006 and punch in special codes corresponding to that particular quality problem. Workers would fix a problem, but they wouldn't necessarily log the fix, and Saturn was losing important historical data on quality assurance. In the early 1990s, Saturn made the leap to PCs, and the still new Windows NT operating system in its manufacturing and assembly plant. This meant working with GE FANUC to move Simplicity to Windows NT, as well as giving Microsoft an education in what an operating system needed to do in a complex manufacturing environment. During those early days, our development engineers spent many nights on the phone with Saturn engineers. Today, Saturn's manufacturing system includes 19 PC servers in production and 3 in a test bed, plus about 70 older VAX minicomputers. Saturn's manufacturing software includes Simplicity, a variety of PC server applications and development tools, and standard PC operating systems running on about 3,500 desktop systems and 500 laptops. Even the PLC sensors are being replaced with PCs. A dispatcher can see all the physical operations of the plant on a single screen, or focus down to the level of any one sensor. If a switch fails at column C, conveyor 500 of the mezzanine level, for instance, the dispatcher can spot the failure immediately and send over an electrician for a repair. All 120,000 points of data are analyzed every 6 seconds and delivered to dispatchers in a graphical format, enabling people to make a difference. A change as simple as giving all employees easy-to-use graphical computers has produced dramatic effects at Saturn. Anybody in the division can log on to the manufacturing section of the Saturn intranet and see a detailed list of, say, the top 10 quality problems that have occurred in end-of-the-line dynamic vehicle tests in the past 2 hours. Through a web interface, the worker can retrieve data from a database, automatically load the data into a spreadsheet, and pivot through the data to analyze it by parts and type of problem: trim, door panels, powertrain, and so on, fit, paint, weld, assembly, installation, and so on. By analyzing historical data with off-the-shelf tools and not having to go to the time and expense of getting a programmer to do a special report, one worker on the powertrain team was able to detect a faulty weld in the engine and save Saturn $1.5 million a month in potential repairs. 3 to 6 internal computer modules control everything on a Saturn, from the brakes to airbag deployment. An engineer reviews diagnostic tests on these modules over the Saturn intranet. Recently, Saturn was able to spot, within less than 2 hours of the first occurrence, a particular kind of failure in the powertrain control module. The company got hold of the vendor, who quickly reprogrammed the modules and returned them to Saturn without holding up production. Saturn also does a pure quality audit of its vehicles by randomly pulling a dozen or so cars off the line each day. The system downloads into a Windows CE-based handheld PC a 3-dimensional schematic specific to the make and model of a car. Using this schematic as a guide, inspectors go through the car and note every irregularity and flaw. If there's a problem with the front left fender, for instance, they'll click on the PC display to get an exploded view of that part. A menu allows them to note the problem. After each audit, inspectors plug their handheld PCs into the network to automatically synchronize the files with the original database. These engineers and other workers analyze the day's data and compare it with historical daily and weekly results. A part that's routinely scratched during assembly could indicate either a problem with the work of the team or a part that's inherently difficult to install. These pure quality audits have enabled inspectors to work with manufacturing to fix the fit and finish of a certain model's fuel filter doors and another model's poor-fitting interior dome lights. All of the quality assurance data, whether from end-of-the-line inspections or the pure quality audits, is fed back to product engineering through Saturn Manufacturing's PC-based information systems. Everyone from manufacturing managers and line workers to design engineers have access to the data so that teams can work together to improve buildability. How well and how easily parts go together. Expertise from the floor is combined with expertise from the engineers to come up with a better design. Saturn workers are qualified to speak because they are information smart. Redefining the role of line workers. All three of the companies I've talked about in this chapter demonstrate the value of improved information flow, even in factories that were already automated. Putting high-quality diagnostic tools in the hands of the people who do the work and building production systems around information flow is essential. Ideally, the tools integrate all of the steps that deliver value to a customer, rather than treating the steps as just a series of individual tasks. Michael Hammer likes to say that the task worker is the last vestige of the old industrial age. In a modern company, every worker has to be involved in the entire process, in all the steps. An acquaintance of mine had an uncle who spent 25 years at an auto plant in Flint, Michigan, tacking chrome strips and other finished parts onto automobiles. It was a good job in the years immediately after World War II, but it followed the classic industrial age approach. Break a process into small, discrete tasks, and assign each to one person who does it over and over, the one best way. Compare that approach with the way Saturn workers do their jobs today. In the new organization, the worker is no longer a cog in a machine, but is an intelligent part of the overall process. Welders at some steel jobs now have to know algebra and geometry to figure weld angles from computer-generated designs. Water treatment companies train assembly line workers in computerized production measurements and math. New digital photocopiers require the service personnel to have an understanding of computers and the internet, not just skill with a screwdriver. Human beings remain essential in operational processes that have to constantly improve and that have to constantly adapt to changing circumstances. A flexible production line needs people, well-informed, empowered people. As we consolidate tasks into processes, we give workers more responsibility. Computers will eliminate some jobs, but they will take the drudgery out of many other jobs. Having people focus on whole processes will allow them to tackle more interesting, challenging work. A one-dimensional job, a task, will be eliminated, automated, or rolled into a bigger process. One-dimensional, repetitive work is exactly what computers, robots, and other machines are best at, and what human workers are poorly suited to and almost uniformly despise. Managing a process instead of executing tasks makes someone a knowledge worker, and it is good digital information flow that enables knowledge workers to play their unique roles. From a corporate perspective, another worker-related benefit emerges from good information systems. Only up-to-date and accurate information makes it possible to tie compensation directly to performance, quality, and customer satisfaction. You can't wait until the end of the month to see how everybody did and make adjustments then. You don't want a special scoring for bonus department to independently measure every team's performance. You have to get performance information directly to every team every day. Without electronic feedback loops, tying compensation to performance, a practice more and more companies want to institute, doesn't work well. By creating a good flow of information, Saturn is also preparing itself for mass customization, which combines the efficiencies of high-volume production with the ability to build exactly the model the customer wants. More than most car manufacturers, Saturn already builds a number of custom-made cars. You can imagine the day that a customer in a dealer's showroom or at home uses a PC to order over the internet exactly the car and the options he or she wants, and getting delivery within a few days. Build to order, which has become increasingly popular in the PC industry, is bound to become a major part of other manufacturing industries, from cars to clothing to furniture. Manufacturing lines, though, have to be smart if they're going to handle many custom jobs for complex machines. Because there's no reverse on the assembly line, the special order chassis and body of a car have to sync up with the right engine and powertrain. If a problem shows up, for example, if a special order purple paint doesn't come out perfect on one of the panels, you need the kind of dynamic scheduling system Saturn uses to keep things moving. Saturn system searches through all the parts on the line, finds the earliest set of panels that will fit the order, and reassigns these panels to the purple car. The car for which the new panels were originally intended is rescheduled farther back in the line, where panels in the color required for it, say white, are stocked. A problem with a custom job holds up Saturn's assembly line for only 15 or 20 minutes, not for the hours that would be involved if Saturn didn't have its dynamic scheduling software. The dynamic scheduling application is a big bang for the buck item, not just because it solved a major problem, but also because it served as the basis for similar applications in other areas of the plant, such as transmission tracking. With a single infrastructure and standard software and tools, Saturn's IT group doesn't have to develop reporting systems from scratch to give auto workers data. Instead, the IT group plugs together standard components that let auto workers extract the right information for themselves. Every new application can be built in less time and for less money. That's why, over the past 5 years, Saturn IT projects have grown fourfold, while IT budget has increased only half as much. What Saturn has done will be common sense in the future, but most of the industrial world doesn't work that way yet. Until recently, the hardware and systems cost for such capabilities in manufacturing were prohibitive. The interfaces were too arcane. You simply couldn't afford to gather data on defects and analyze it quickly. Small, portable devices will make data gathering even easier. Like Saturn, Boeing has converted its paper-based trouble ticket process into a digital form for handheld PCs, shortening the turnaround time for addressing quality issues during aircraft manufacturing. Other companies are using handhelds to replace paper-based inventory reporting, cutting data collection time in half, improving accuracy, and enabling the reports to be posted on the intranet within hours, instead of the week usually required for consolidating paper reports. Wireless networks will make it possible for these devices to go virtually anywhere and report back information even sooner. Saturn officials were the first from a large industrial company to come to us in the early 1990s and say that they wanted to design all of their business processes around PC tools, from the factory floor on up. Our reaction was, wow. They were coming to us because of the vision of where we were going, not because of what we already had in our product catalog at the time. PC hardware grew in power, and so did our high-end system and handheld software. Saturn provided a great deal of information to us on the requirements for industrial-strength software systems. The pieces came together as the result of a strong relationship between the two companies and between modern technology and manufacturing processes. Most companies have been willing to give information tools to their high-paid, white-collar professionals who do information work for a living. Entergy, Stepan, and Saturn are proving that building systems around information flow and giving information tools to line workers can also provide enormous value. Entergy is methodically overhauling its key business processes and pushing information and decision-making down to the operational level. Stepan is using information to manage its plants as a whole to adapt to changing customer needs. Saturn uses technology to combine the expertise of its line workers with that of its design engineers, to tie compensation directly to performance, and to set the stage for mass customization in an assembly line setting. All three of these companies are applying knowledge management to business operations to analyze thought put, quality, and failure rates to improve core processes. Digital tools bring more intelligence to their business operations. Give your workers more sophisticated jobs along with better tools, and you'll discover that your employees will become more responsible and bring more intelligence to their work. In the digital age, you need to make knowledge workers out of every employee possible. Business lessons. The more line workers understand the inner workings of production systems, the more intelligently they can run those systems. Real-time data on production systems enables you to schedule maintenance before something breaks. Tying compensation to improved quality will work only with real-time feedback of quality problems. Task workers will go away. Their jobs will be automated or combined into bigger tasks requiring knowledge work. Look into how portable devices and wireless networks can extend your information systems into the factory, warehouse, and other areas. Diagnosing your digital nervous system. Can line workers get real-time access to data so they can improve the quality of the product? Can you integrate your manufacturing systems with the other systems in your company? For example, to extract data from production processes to drive inventory control or coordinate production with sales? Chapter 17. Information Technology Enables Reengineering. I don't see information technology as a standalone system. I see it as a great facilitator. And maybe most important, it's a reason to keep asking yourself the question, why? Paul O'Neill, chairman and CEO of Alcoa. Since Michael Hammer and James Champy introduced the concept of re-engineering in 1994, companies the world over have been re-examining their business processes. They're trying to get organized complexity and internal efficiencies out of the way of delivering value to customers. When I read Hammer and Champy's book, Re-engineering the Corporation, three of their ideas about re-engineering business processes really stood out for me. The first is that you need to step back periodically to take a hard look at your processes. Do they solve the right problems? Can they be simplified? The second is that if you cut a job into too many pieces and involve too many people, nobody can see the whole process and the work will bog down. The third, closely related to the second, is that too many handoffs create too many likely points of failure. As often happens with a hot concept, Hammer and Champy's simple but profound ideas about process re-engineering have precipitated a deluge of business seminars, training sessions, university classes, magazine articles, and Me Too books from various experts. In the process, pun intended, a variety of business people have used the term re-engineering to justify almost any organizational change. A couple of years ago, a large computer company began a re-engineering effort by laying off most of the personnel department, leaving no one to rationalize the rest of what was really a downsizing effort. Without personnel experts to guide change, the company made a number of missteps. It bought out the contracts of freelancers and sent them away before they did any more work, even though the company had already paid for their services. Highly regarded, newly promoted people were laid off because they were now the least senior people at their new ranks. It's hard to see such behavior as any kind of rational downsizing, and it certainly wasn't re-engineering. Michael Hammer said in conversation once that, "Sometimes re-engineering has come to mean almost everything except re-engineering." Even though some people go overboard with the idea or use it to mask layoffs, the idea of re-examining your processes from time to time to make them more effective and to wring out inefficiencies is more important now than ever. Creating a new process is a major project. You should have a specific definition of success, a specific beginning and end in terms of time and tasks, intermediate milestones, and a budget. The best projects are those in which people have the customer scenario clearly in mind. That's true of process projects, too. The customer may be outside the company or inside, but the idea is the same. How will the person use the product or the process you're developing? How will it be better than the one before? You also need an understanding at all levels of the trade-offs. Every project has trade-offs. In software projects, management always wants the product to be feature-rich, small, and done overnight for very little money. Managers want it all, so the trade-offs have to be explicitly understood. If you're clever about making the product rich in features and have to make it bigger, you don't want management coming back to say that you should have sacrificed a few features to keep it small. If you keep a lid on costs, you don't want management to say that you should have spent whatever it took to include more features. The same is true of a project to create a digital process. You need to be flexible in the face of evolving requirements without invalidating your original design goals with creeping change. You should have a crisp decision process to evaluate change, including a provision for re-evaluating your original project goals. Renovating the process for product delivery. A few years ago, a major release of Windows NT came very close to being held up the day it was ready to ship, not because of a showstopper bug or some other problem in product development, but because of a missing cardboard box. The artwork for the product container had landed on someone's desk the day that person went on vacation. There the art sat until the finished box failed to reach manufacturing on schedule. This was just 2 days before the shipping deadline, and the box normally required 10 days for production. Only round-the-clock efforts by the operations people at our manufacturing facility got us enough boxes, ink barely dry, to meet the schedule. After this incident, the manager of the group responsible for the marketing materials got everybody together to analyze what had gone wrong. The group consisted of almost a dozen people from 2 internal divisions and 2 outside vendors. The manager asked one question, a common question at Microsoft I like to ask: why are there so many people in this room? In any meeting, I want only the essential decision-makers. Everybody else should be off solving other problems. If you find more than 3 or 4 decision-makers in the room, you can be sure that the sheer number of people involved is a major part of the problem. This manager challenged the group to simplify the process and to look for similar coordination problems with any of the division's dozen other products. Look for a pattern and solve it for everything, he said. In the short term, the group established the principle of affirmative acknowledgement, meaning that a handoff wasn't complete until the next person in line said, I've got it. No more blindly throwing stuff over the transom. The group also reduced the number of handoffs from 5 to 3. Reducing handoffs may not seem like a major step, but anything that can eliminate touches reduces the opportunities for error and helps to assure quality. In a new plant in 1997, Dell Computer redesigned its production lines to cut in half the number of times a hard disk was handled. The company experienced a 40% reduction in rejection rates for hard drives in manufacturing, and a 20% reduction in overall PC failures. At Microsoft, the people from all divisions who were responsible for getting product components to manufacturing started having best practices meetings. The senior operations person from Ireland, where we do our European manufacturing, flew in to talk about problems that U.S. practices had created for her organization. Over time, we identified a number of process problems in preparing materials for manufacturing. Once, for instance, we'd used special fonts on our product boxes, not realizing that the fonts weren't available worldwide. This caused several of our products to release late for the holiday consumer season in Australia. That hurt. The process owners in all of the divisions got together to define a global production process that would take advantage of digital tools for improving coordination. We created an application to track all product components, from boxes to box labels to artwork to actual software code. With information about all of these components on the network, product managers and other employees can easily track the status of their build processes. We have a single, well-defined electronic production process that, among other benefits, ensures that when we improve any steps along the way, they are used throughout the organization. In this same time frame, we also began to outsource our manufacturing. This change meant we had to provide complete materials for turnkey manufacturing. The process had to be even clearer, process-dependent, not people-dependent. One goal was, operations should not be the hero all the time. The digital tools that improved coordination internally now made it possible